Good morning, good evening, good afternoon, and welcome to another episode of Movement Radio. I am Chip Hazard.
I am Talon Williams, and the regular season of Are You Ravens in Football has completely wrapped up. We are going into wild card weekend in the NFL. But before we get into wild card weekend, let's talk about the craziness that had took place this past week, week 18 of the National Football League. Chip, overall, how did you feel about week 18? Just say it. You're happy. You're happy. Well, I can tell.
I am happy, yes, but there was some crazy shit that happened. I mean, a lot of teams didn't play their starters because they had already locked in playoff. You know, they were locked into the playoff, and it was just seeding here and there.
Right.
You know, like the Browns didn't play their starters. The Ravens didn't play their starters. Yeah.
In a weird way, though, with the Ravens allowing the Steelers to win, basically let the Steelers come into the playoffs, basically, because the Steelers were basically in a win-and-you're-in situation, but other things had to happen. And we'll get to those other things that happened. But before we – let's talk about the Ravens and the Steelers. Obviously, the Ravens, you know, they didn't start a lot of their key starters. There was no Lamar Jackson. There was no big-time defensive players that played. If they did play, they played maybe one, maybe two quarters at the very least. But Pittsburgh, with Mason Rudolph, of all people, got the nod, got the win, 17-10 in this game. Again, this was in a weird way kind of a throwaway game for Baltimore. It's like they didn't care whether or not they won or lost because they had the number one seed locked up anyway. But I do think in a weird pseudo way, they maybe have kind of gave Pittsburgh a little bit of the momentum going into this game, in a sense. How did you ultimately feel about it?
Well, yeah, they gave Pittsburgh the momentum, but there was a bunch of other things that had to happen. That did happen for the Steelers, right, to get into the playoffs. Like the Jaguars had to lose. Nobody saw the Jaguars losing to the Titans.
No, nobody saw the Jags losing to the Titans in a game that Derrick Henry, which don't mean to cut you off real quick, I'm sorry about that, but in a game where Derrick Henry essentially had his swan song, you know, because he had an amazing game, over 150 yards rushing and two touchdowns. This is... Even at 30 years old, you can still look at Derrick Henry and say, yeah, I still want that guy as at least running back by committee for my team, at least, or any other team out there who would want a Derrick Henry to play. Yeah, I mean, he's still a good, serviceable option.
Oh,
you
yeah.
know. And we'll get to the other departure from Tennessee here in just a minute.
There's a lot of departures from Tennessee. Right, no, that's the thing.
Right. Well, we'll get to them in just one second. I want to talk about this one. The Houston Texans and the Indianapolis Colts, a game that literally went down to the wire in a sense. And, you know, the Texans pull away. It was 23-17 at one point, and then the Texans had to kick a field goal or had to punt. And the punter just ran it out the back and took a safety so it wouldn't give the Colts an opportunity to use any offensive plays, and they would have had to score on the kickoff regardless. But yeah, Texans pull away, beat the Colts 23-19. Dumb question, but how do you feel about the Texans beating the Colts in this situation?
So I said this last week, and I'm going to say this again. Everybody, and I mean that, everybody wrote the Texans off before the season even happened. They're like,
yep,
the Texans are going to be the worst team in the NFL. They're going to have, you know, a top one, two pick. Yeah, they're going to pick one or two in the 2024 NFL draft. And now, look, we're double-digit wins, 10-7 on the season. We win the AFC South. We have a home playoff game where we're hosting the Cleveland Browns, who have beat us already this season. But there's a caveat to all of that. They beat us, and we didn't have Will Anderson, on defense.
Mm-hmm.
We didn't have Jonathan Grenard on defense.
Nope.
We didn't have our star players on defense. And above right. that, we did not have C.J. Stroud under center. I think right. we'll talk about it a little more when we get into the next or the final segment of the show and when we do our predictions. But I think this game is on paper looks completely different to what
technical difficulties. Sorry about that. but yeah, I mean, I agree with you, man. I think this time around will probably be different. I definitely think it'll be a tighter, closer game than it was last time. But that being said, though, again, congrats to the Houston Texans winning the AFC South. So we move on to scroll through here. Let me go down to find the other games that are on the docket that we had. See. The Philadelphia Eagles losing to the New York Giants in a game where, I mean, obviously, if the Eagles won this game, then they would stay at the number 5 seed, but at least it would have given them a chance to go on to hopefully with Dallas losing, which Dallas didn't lose. But I called that one wrong. I was just hoping that the Dallas Cowboys would find a way to screw it up, but that's for a different story. But yeah, the Eagles lost 27-10. And they were actually playing a couple of their starters. They were playing Jalen Hurts. They were playing these guys. I think
they played all their starters.
I think they did too, yeah. Ultimately, maybe it was a situation where the Eagles were already in, so they didn't really take the game seriously. Maybe. I think that's what it was. I mean, but
they played like trash. Like
they did.
The Eagles team that has now lost 4 of the last 5 games.
Yeah.
And ironically enough, I think they should have lost. I think they should have lost to the Bills at home in that overtime game.
Yeah,
which
I wish they would have. To be honest with you,
5 of the last 6 games.
Yeah,
but this team is not the team that started the season. They're not the right. same team. 100%.
They're not.
And I don't know what it is. I do know that didn't they fire somebody there in Philadelphia?
Did they? Let me go.
NFL.com maybe check not. Real quick. Okay, no, it wasn't Philadelphia that let somebody go.
Okay,
it was actually the Buffalo Bills, but we'll talk about that here in a few minutes.
Yes, we will. Also, we have another game that we were going to talk about also is, if I can get back to the damn thing. Okay. The Raiders defeating the Denver Broncos 27-14. The Raiders, again, you know, their defense, you know, holding Denver to 14. But their defense really looked impressive in a lot in this game. How do you ultimately feel about the Raiders Broncos game?
We kind of called it. The Broncos have been playing terribly. The Raiders are they've got the interim coach, and I'm saying that in quotation marks because we'll talk about it here in a few minutes. But they're not interviewing for head coaching positions. They haven't requested any interviews as of this recording. So
right. I don't think they need to.
I think they have found their head coach, and they should yes. ride with him moving forward.
Yes.
But, yeah, I mean, it's just a case of the Raiders finding the right pieces and putting them together, and they have yeah. done that.
Absolutely. And the Las Vegas looks like an attraction for some of these free agents that could be coming in. Could there be a possibility that maybe – they could get a quarterback out of the draft, or could some of these free agent quarterbacks be looking at Vegas and even saying, you know, I know I'm a better quarterback than Jimmy G. Let me go here and try this. Because even with Aiden O'Connell at the helm, you don't really get a whole bunch of offensive production, but you know you're going to get some good defense, especially with, you know, Max Crosby and a couple of other key pieces on that defense. I think they're one or two key pieces away from possibly contending for a playoff spot. I don't know if I'll go as far as AFC West title, because let's be honest, as long as Kansas City is still Kansas City, you know, it's hard to, you know.
I mean, but they almost lost it this year.
They did. They really, really did. So. But God, let's get to the main event. Let's get to the Bills and the Dolphins, which was a way closer game.
Talk about this.
I'm sure I want to talk about this. The Bills beating the Dolphins, 21-14, not a big disparity, discrepancy. You know, Miami did hold the lead after the first half. It was a tale of two halves, basically. There was no point scored in the first or the third. It was all second and fourth quarter points. Dolphins had it 14-7 going into the half, and then the Bills just came out of nowhere and said, "Nah, we're just going to take the game over," you know. And they took the game over in the fourth quarter, scoring 14 unanswered points. The Dolphins definitely are suffering from injuries to the defense. Bradley Chubb going out with an injury. Jalen Phillips gone from injury. You know, it's going to be weird to see how this goes forward, especially with us playing the Kansas City Chiefs in Arrowhead, which is a very, very difficult place to play. But there have been teams who have beaten Kansas City in Arrowhead this season, so I'm not 100% definite on where my pick is there, in terms of like who I'm going to pick. I mean, I know who I'm going to pick personally, but in hindsight, maybe it's not the. But overall, how did you feel about Buffalo Miami in the last game of the year?
It was a defensive battle. I will say that. Now, you mentioned some injuries on the Dolphins. They did just sign Justin Houston.
Yes.
So he'll be with them going through the playoffs, however far they make it. So I think that'll help a little bit. But I mean, you guys come right out of the gate with a tough task.
God, yes.
And we'll talk about it in the final segment, but it's going to be tough for you guys.
Oh yeah, it's going to be tough. I think both of our teams are going to be tested this upcoming week. In fact, both of our teams play on Saturday of this week. And of course, there's a whole lot we'll get to the games when we get to the games. But yes, ladies and gentlemen, that has been week 18. If we're moving to the playoff picture, as every single one of you know, the playoff picture is go ahead.
I was just saying, before you get to the playoff picture, I want to talk about a few happenings within the NFL are going on.
Absolutely.
So the Atlanta Falcons have fired head coach Arthur Smith.
Thank God.
Arthur Smith, he was with the Falcons for 3 years, and he ended his tenure with a 21-30 record. Every season that he was the head coach, they finished 7-10.
Yeah. That's the definition of mediocrity.
Yes.
In a sense. Now
rumor is that he may end up as an offensive coordinator in New England. And we'll get to that here in just a second. But as most know, the Buffalo Bills did fire their offensive coordinator, Ken Dorsey, this year. The Carolina Panthers fired Frank Reich. They also fired general manager Scott Fitterer.
Yep.
Assistant head coach and running back coach Deuce Staley. And their quarterback coach, Josh McCown.
Yeah.
So there's that. The Jacksonville Jaguars have fired defensive coordinator Mike Caldwell and running back coach Bernie Parmalee.
Mm-hmm.
We know that the Raiders fired Josh McDaniel earlier this year, but they also fired general manager Dave Ziegler.
Yep.
The LA Chargers fired head coach Brandon Staley and their general manager, Tom Telesco.
Yep. I think we all kind of saw the the Brandon Staley firing coming.
Yes. The New York Giants have fired special team coordinator Thomas McGuffey and offensive line coach Bobby Johnson. That just happened on January the 8th.
Yes.
The no shock to everybody was the Steelers firing Matt Canada, their offensive coordinator. We knew that was going to happen. Now, probably the biggest shock of the entire, not even offseason, is the Tennessee Titans firing head coach Mike Vrabel after six seasons. Now, he had four consecutive winning seasons with the Tennessee Titans. He took them to the playoffs three times, won an AFC championship. His last two seasons with the organization have not been winning seasons. Now, I don't think there's a single person out there that thinks Mike Vrabel is a terrible head coach.
Not at all.
I honestly, he comes from that Bill Belichick tree of coaching. You know, Belichick actually drafted Mike Vrabel. He is a three-time Super Bowl champion with the New England Patriots. He coached in Houston before taking the head coaching position for the Titans in 2018. Somebody is going to be beating down his door for him to come and coach for them.
If I'm being completely honest, I think it's going to be New England. So, it kind of it makes sense for it to be New England.
So the current rumor is that Bill Belichick is going to remain with the New England Patriots.
Okay.
But step back as the head coach and take over exclusive GM rights.
Got okay. So he's going to be the new general manager of the New England Patriots.
Already the general manager.
With
Mike Vrabel taking over as head coach, and Arthur Smith, who was the offensive coordinator in Tennessee under head coach Mike Vrabel, coming to New England as the offensive coordinator. That is a rumor that is going around right now. I think if that happens, and Mike Vrabel and Artie Smith get their player in the draft, which presumably is going to be a quarterback, I think that this is obviously super way too early, but I think, I think if that happens, the New England Patriots are a playoff team next year.
I agree that they would be a playoff team next year, but like I said, I mean, it's more than just a quarterback. You also have to worry about putting good players around that said quarterback. And also the fact that their defense has not lived up to par, have not been up to par over the past 2 years. And New England, even though people like love to give Tom Brady the credit during his tenure there, people completely neglect how good the defense was. They forget about guys like Rodney Harrison and Ty Law and Teddy Bruschi and even Mike Vrabel himself, you know. So they tend to forget about how good of a defense. That's, to me, that's like what New England, like New England was known for three things. Bill Belichick, Tom Brady, and having just a brutal kick-ass defense. Because that's what they were known for, you know.
Yes.
I think. Go ahead.
I was going to say I think that Vrabel is the kind of guy, and New England is the market where it would attract free agents.
Oh yeah, it would definitely attract free agents. My only caveat would be, I agree with the whole situation of Arthur Smith being underneath Mike Vrabel as the offensive coordinator. That makes sense to me because he was an offensive coordinator under Mike Vrabel in Tennessee.
Yes.
My question then becomes, if Bill Belichick is in charge of in this rumored scenario, he would be in charge of getting the players, not necessarily selecting the coaching staff.
Correct.
Because then,
I'm sure that him and Vrabel, if this is to go down as rumored, I'm sure that him and Vrabel, because Vrabel, obviously we know Vrabel has a ton of respect for Belichick. And I honestly think that Belichick has a ton of respect for Vrabel.
Mm-hmm.
Because, I mean, he drafted the guy. He won Super Bowls with the guy. He kind of gave him the blessing, you know, hey, go, you know, go forth and, you know, prosper under this Bill Belichick learning tree and, you know, whatnot.
Right.
I think they would work. I'm sorry. So I think that they would work kind of cohesively to to not only pick the coaching staff, but also, you know, where are we going draft wise.
That this is my question then, because we know how close Josh McDaniels is to Bill Belichick. Would Bill Belichick push for McDaniels to be offensive coordinator? Because we already know he can't head coach, but he is a good offensive coordinator. Would you think Bill Belichick would kind of lean Vrabel into like, hey, I know you and Arthur Smith are good and he was underneath you, but, you know, Josh McDaniels is proven as an offensive coordinator. Do you think that would cause some, I won't say conflict, but would it cause some interesting talks among Belichick and Vrabel at that point?
100%. And I mean, there's nothing that says that you can't have a, like, co-offensive coordinators. Maybe McDaniel and Artie Smith could work seamlessly together. We don't know. Again, this is all just rumor. And
of course,
I think it's an interesting rumor. But moving on, the Washington Commanders, as of January 8th, have fired head coach Ron Rivera, defensive coordinator Jack Del Rio, and defensive backs coach Brent Wieselmeyer.
Yeah. A lot of that is an intriguing firing, only from the standpoint that, and I've said this, we talked about it just the other day. As soon as I heard the story, or as soon as I heard the report about Ron Rivera being let go as head coach of the Washington Commanders, the only thing in my head I'm thinking is let Eric B. Cook. Give him the opportunity that everyone's saying that they know that he's good. Here's the thing. He might get the head coaching position and he might flop, but at least he's getting the opportunity because you saw what he did in Kansas City. And I will say this, look what Kansas City's offense looks like with Eric B. and without Eric B. You can clearly tell that there's a big, big discrepancy between them two style offenses. Do I think Eric B. could possibly turn this team around to become a better team? I don't know that for a fact, but I've seen offensively what he's done this past year. I'm not saying the Commanders were a complete overhaul as far as from horrible to big, because I mean, obviously they were the second NFC team to be, you know, mathematically eliminated from the postseason. But I do think that if given the chance, I think Eric could put his, especially in an offense together, that could really, you know, show a lot of people some things, I think.
Yes.
What do you think?
Well, I agree. I think Eric B. should be given that opportunity. However, there are the Washington Commanders have already requested several interviews with coaches from around the league. So they have requested an interview with Anthony Weaver, who is the Ravens' assistant head coach.
Okay.
They have requested an interview with Dan Quinn, the Cowboys' defensive coordinator.
I could actually see that, though.
Yes.
I could see Dan Quinn, yeah.
They have requested an interview with Raheem Morris, who is the Rams' defensive coordinator.
I don't know. I think he might stay, but we'll go ahead and continue.
Yes. They have requested an interview with Mike McDonald, the Ravens' defensive coordinator.
Okay, that kind of makes sense, yeah, with the Ravens being the way they are, yeah.
Yes. Ben Johnson, the Lions' offensive coordinator. And finally, Aaron Glenn, the Detroit Lions' defensive coordinator.
Oh, yeah. I think Dan Campbell's going to try his best to kind of keep everybody together. But if those other guys get opportunities, I'm pretty sure Dan would be like, yeah, go ahead and take it.
Yes.
But go ahead.
A couple more.
Yeah, go ahead.
interview requests. The Chargers have requested interviews with Aaron Glenn and Ben Johnson, the Lions' offensive and defensive coordinator. Raheem Morris, the Rams' defensive coordinator. Dan Quinn, the Cowboys' defensive coordinator. Giff Smith, who is the Chargers' interim head coach. They've already completed that interview.
Yeah.
They have requested an interview with Steve Wilks, who is the San Francisco 49ers defensive coordinator.
That would be a good one, I think.
And Todd Monken, the Ravens offensive coordinator.
Monken would be a good choice, but the thing is he doesn't have a defensive personnel to, the defensive personnel to lean on. Right. You know what I mean? God, that would be interesting, to be honest with you.
Yes.
There's a couple of names that you haven't thrown out there as far as the coaching search go. Go ahead.
Hold on, because the Carolina Panthers have also made some requests. They have requested Brian Callahan, which is the Cincinnati Bengals offensive coordinator.
Okay.
Dave Canales, the Buccaneers offensive coordinator. Ben Johnson, the Lions offensive coordinator. Mike McDonald, the Ravens defensive coordinator. Todd Monken, the Ravens offensive coordinator. Raheem Morris, the Ravens defensive coordinator. Dan Quinn, the Cowboys defensive coordinator. Frank Smith, you would know this name because he is the Dolphins offensive coordinator.
Offensive coordinator, yep.
And Bobby Slowick, the Houston Texans offensive coordinator.
Mm.
So there's some possible movings going on. I don't think that Bobby Slowick is going to leave Houston. I would never blame anybody for furthering their career and becoming a head coach anywhere. I don't think that Carolina is the right fit for Bobby Slowick. I think there's too much rebuilding that needs to happen in Carolina, and that front office is absolutely garbage.
Oh, God, yes.
I hope that Bobby Slowick stays in Houston. That is my hope. Because if we look at Jalen Hurts, and I'm going to use this as an example, okay?
Okay, okay.
Who was Jalen Hurts' offensive coordinator last year?
He became the head coach of Indianapolis, didn't he?
Exactly.
I can't remember his name off the top of my head.
So, but what I say that to say, what happened to Jalen Hurts when he left?
What happened to Jalen Hurts when he left?
When his offensive coordinator left to become the head coach.
Yeah, I'm looking it up too.
I can't think of the name right off the top of my head.
Indianapolis. All right, hang on. Here we go.
I keep wanting to say Stefanski, but that's the Browns head coach.
Shane Strickland?
Yeah, it's Shane Strickland. Yeah.
Shane Strickland. Yeah, he was the offensive coordinator for the Philadelphia Eagles the year they went to the Super Bowl against Kansas City.
Right.
As a matter of fact,
last year. Look at Jalen Hurts under Shane Strickland versus the offensive coordinator this year. Jalen Hurts has gone downhill.
Right? Oh yeah,
and it's
Brian. Yeah, Brian Johnson is the offensive coordinator for Philly this year.
Right. So I won't say that the same would happen to CJ Stroud, but CJ Stroud and Bobby Slowick have that camaraderie. They work well together. So if a better opportunity other than Carolina opened up for Bobby Slowick, jump on it. Do you, boo-boo,
yeah,
jump on it. But we know that the Carolina Panthers, the organization as itself, is in the shitter.
oh God, the shitter ain't even the word for it. They're in the septic tank.
So,
you know what I mean? They're bad, dude. I mean, Frank Smith, I mean, if he got the chance, I don't know if he would, because here's the thing. Carolina, even though you got a good young quarterback in Bryce Young, where's your firepower? Where's your impact players? I mean, you look at what Miami has right now. They got Tyreek, they got Jalen Waddle, they got Raheem Mostert, they got, you know, Devon Achane. They have a good offensive line that can protect Tua when they're all healthy and stuff, you know. But as I'm looking at the offensive coaches that we have, with Frank Smith being the coordinator, Daryl Bevel is our quarterback coach. Wes Welker is our wide receiver coach. Ricardo Allen is an offensive assistant. Colby Smith is an offensive assistant. I'm not saying any of those guys couldn't, you know, do a good job in that role, but right now Frank Smith is proven. So let's see how long we can go, you know, with Frank Smith as our offensive coordinator, depending on, you know, how well it goes for the rest of the year, to be honest.
Right.
It's going to be interesting to see what happens. A couple of names that you didn't bring up in the current coaching search, I guess. Mm-hmm. You didn't bring up Eric Bieniemy, which again, maybe that's saying something, that maybe there's a whole lot of people out there who maybe not want him. But I don't know why that wouldn't be the case, because you saw what he did in Kansas City. You see what he's doing in Washington. Another name that didn't get brought up that has been linked to the New England job also, along with Mike Vrabel, was Brian Flores, the defensive coordinator for the Minnesota Vikings, who was formerly the offensive head coach or the head coach of the Miami Dolphins for 3 years.
Right.
Again, it's one of them things, like, it's like trying to find a head coach in today's day and age. You got to be very, very careful as to who's proven and who can get that second chance. The only other thing I'll say before we get into the playoff picture is, if I'm the Las Vegas Raiders, you keep Antonio Pierce as head coach.
Yes.
You do not turn him. Don't go for a search, man, because I think it's one of them situations where the players love him, the fans love him. Ever since he took over for Josh McDaniel, that team has looked like a completely different team. They look like a play, like what I said a couple of weeks ago. Despite their record, ever since Antonio Pierce took over as head coach, they have looked great.
Yes.
And if you take it, if you just take that at face value, players like him, the fans like him. You know, he gets along with everybody. He's keeping the team coercion. This defense has gotten better. Yeah, let's make him the head coach. And once he does have the interim title removed from him, then I think we're really going to see how good he can be. You know what I mean? I think because he'll have, you know, plenty of time. And obviously the Davis family is going to have their say in what happens. They're like the Jerry Jones of, they're like Jerry Jones. It's Al Davis and the Davis family, but it's kind of like Jerry Jones, only with less money. But yeah, we'll definitely see what happens as far as the coaching searches goes and things of that nature. But until then, excuse me, obviously we're talking about the playoff picture. Obviously in the AFC, the Baltimore Ravens did clinch home field advantage and a first round bye. And then it's the Bills and the Bills versus Steelers, Chiefs versus Dolphins, and Texans versus Browns. On the NFC side, the 49ers have the number one seed, which means they get home field throughout the playoffs, along with the first round bye, with the Cowboys playing the Packers, the Lions playing the Rams, and the Buccaneers playing the Eagles. And there were five teams that have winning records that missed the postseason this year. For the AFC, it's the Cincinnati Bengals, the Jacksonville Jaguars, and the Indianapolis Colts. And for the NFC, it is the Seattle Seahawks and the New Orleans Saints. All those teams have a 9-8 record, still technically an above 500 record, still technically a winning record, but they are out, mathematically eliminated from postseason contention.
Yes.
Let's go ahead and let's jump on to the power rankings for this week. We'll talk about, I do want to say this, that the Carolina Panthers did finish dead last in the power rankings. I'm just going to say it because it's funny. New England's 30. Sorry. But as far as our teams go, the Denver Broncos have finished the year at rank number 23.
Okay.
Let me scroll up here real quick. Okay. The Philadelphia Eagles finished the year at rank 11. So they went from number one just about a month and a half ago to number 11. So they're out of the top 10 completely. Now, here's the top 10 to end the year. At number 10, the LA Rams. At number 9, the Houston Texans. At number 8, the Miami Dolphins. At number 7, the Kansas City Chiefs. At number 6, the Cleveland Browns. At number 5, the Detroit Lions. At number 4, the Buffalo Bills. At number 3, the Dallas Cowboys. Number 2, the San Francisco 49ers. And the number 1 team to end the year was the Baltimore Ravens. Now, I found it so funny because I've seen what it is now. I'm going back to week 1. This was what, in week 1, this was everybody's prediction. Yeah, Kansas City won. Philadelphia at 2. You had Buffalo at 3, San Francisco at 4, Cincinnati Bengals at 5, Dallas Cowboys at 6, Baltimore at 7, the Dolphins at 8, the Jacksonville Jaguars at 9, and the New York Jets at 10. This was back when everyone believed that the Jets were going to just take over the AFC East with the addition of Aaron Rodgers.
Right.
So that happened. And, of course, you know, Aaron Rodgers goes down. I do think that the AFC East would have been a whole lot more competitive had Aaron Rodgers been able to play. I think, you know, granted, personal shit aside, you know, he believes what he believes. But on the field, Aaron is still a good player. And I think that he would have made that team a little bit better. Before we get into the wild card predictions this week, I do want to tell everybody about the upcoming 2024 NFL draft. Obviously, with everything going on, the seeding and stuff, wild card teams have yet to be determined, but the first 18 teams have been selected. It will be the Chicago Bears getting the number one overall pick because of the trade from the Carolina Panthers. Then it goes Washington, New England, Arizona, LA Chargers, New York Jets, Titans, Falcons, and then Bears again at the 9th spot. So they get two picks in the top 10.
Yes.
With the Jets at number 10, then it goes Minnesota, Denver, Vegas, Orleans, New Orleans, Indianapolis, Seattle, Jacksonville, and Cincinnati. That rounds out the top 18. The other teams will as teams get eliminated throughout the postseason, will set their place in the upcoming 2024 NFL draft. The mock draft, according to Tankathon.com, is they still have the Chicago Bears taking Caleb Williams with the number one overall pick, with Drake May at the number 2 spot going to Washington, quarterback out of North Carolina, and with New England Patriots selecting Jaden Daniels, quarterback out of LSU, at number 3, Marvin Harrison Jr., wide receiver, going to Arizona. And Brock Bowers, tight end from Georgia, is slated to go 5th overall to the San Diego Chargers. How are you feeling so far about the top 5, if you will, in the upcoming draft?
So Caleb Williams has not elected whether he was – He has not stated whether he is or is not entering the draft.
Correct.
And neither has Marvin Harrison Jr. So,
right.
Obviously, this is just a mock draft of where where people think that they're going to be.
Right.
Obviously, Chicago, they're going to go with a quarterback. They have ended the Justin Fields. They haven't specifically said, but we believe that they have ended the Justin Fields experiment. Washington is going to go for a quarterback. New England is going to go for a quarterback. Arizona seems like they are going to ride with Kyler Murray. The Chargers, I'm not sure exactly what their needs are because they've got Justin Herbert, who is a serviceable quarterback. When he's healthy, is really pretty good.
Right.
You know,
the Giants definitely need weapons.
Yeah. So I don't know. And there could be some switching and swapping and some trading going on. Maybe Chicago, knowing that they have two picks in the top 10, maybe they trade, you know, something away to get some more picks or whatnot. I don't think Washington is going to trade. They're definitely going to go after a quarterback.
Oh, yeah.
I don't think Drake May is a first-round quarterback, just personally. I think he's...
Me neither.
I think he's... very similar to Sam Howell, who Washington already has as their quarterback. So you don't want that.
No, you don't.
You know, so it's going to be interesting. I was having a conversation with a buddy of mine today, and I said that I think personally that the NCAA and the NFL need to come together. And they need to say, they need to set a particular day that if a player is going to elect for the draft, they have to, like, they're, you know, just maybe the day after the national championship game or the Monday after the national championship game, whatever. But I think there needs to be a designated day where these players have to elect for the draft or elect to stay in college.
Oh yeah.
I'm sure I'm going to get some heat for that. That's just my personal opinion, because you have guys like Caleb Williams and Marvin Harrison Jr. who most people think are the 1A, 1B of players coming into the draft, that have still not said anything.
Yeah, they haven't. And the funny thing is that, like, when you look at the rest of the prospects that are in the draft this year, there's, you know, we talked about Caleb Williams, Drake May, and Jaden Daniels. People forget about Michael Phoenix Jr., quarterback from Washington.
He's going to be round 2 to 4, I think.
Well, according to this, it has him number 11 going to the Minnesota Vikings.
Yeah, I don't
see the Vikings, you know.
I don't see that happening, and this is why I say that. Michael Penix has had four season-ending injuries in his college career. He has had both shoulders repaired and both knees repaired. The injuries tell me he's not a first round quarterback. Okay.
Would you think they'll probably take him somewhere close to the second, end of second, early third, maybe?
I'm thinking somewhere between 2 and 4, rounds 2 and 4.
Okay. Okay.
Because if you watched the national championship game, after that game, the kid could barely walk off the field.
Yeah. So, yeah, it looked bad.
Yes. So I don't think that he's a first round guy. And another guy that I don't think is a first round guy, and I don't see him being projected in the first round as of right now, is JJ McCarthy, the quarterback for the Michigan Wolverines. Just won a national championship. I don't see him as a first round pick.
Well, according to Tankathon, he's not.
Yeah. I see him as another second to fourth round kind of guy.
They actually have him going 44th overall to the Las Vegas Raiders. And just ahead of him, they have the Atlanta Falcons at 43 taking Bo Nix, quarterback out of Oregon.
Yeah. I think Bo Nix should be higher.
Bo Nix will be a first-round pick, I think. Depending on where he goes, what the team needs, he'll probably get first. I mean, here's the thing. They got the L.A. Rams taking Teron Arnold, quarterback out of Alabama, which is a good pickup, I think, if you need some strong defensive help. But let's be honest. Matthew Stafford's not going to be your quarterback forever.
Right.
You know what I mean? And he's going to need somebody to, you know, take a little bit of the edge off, you know. In terms of our teams, who they believe we are going to be selecting, according to Tankathon, the Miami Dolphins are selected to take Troy Fontanieu, offensive tackle out of Washington. excuse me, and the Texans are selected to take Kamari Lassiter, cornerback out of Georgia.
Kamari Lassiter, you mean?
Lassiter, that's what I mean. Yeah, what did I say?
You said Lassiter.
Lassiter, yeah. Lassiter, you know what I meant. Also, other draft picks. I want
the people to know what you mean.
Right. According, also it says that in the 50, at the 55th pick, it's got you guys taking Tavondre Sweat, defensive lineman out of Texas. I'm sure you'd be very, very happy with that, right? Yeah. And then it has us taking Brandon Dorlus, I want to say that's how it's pronounced, defensive tackle out of Oregon. Right. Is what another one picking up. And if I'm going to, if we go all the way to the third round, we forfeited our third round pick, so we don't get a third round pick. But it has you guys picking up Christian Mahogany,
yeah,
interior linebacker out of Boston College. And then it would, like what I said, it just gives us the first 100 picks.
Right.
But yeah, it's interesting to see what's going to happen. What the mock draft is and the big boards and. What team is going to pick who? They have, again, Caleb Williams, Drake May, Jalen Daniels. Jalen Daniels might end up being a number one overall pick, though. Of course, I still think if you're giving if I know for a fact that all of these players are going to be in the draft, and I know for a fact they're going to be in the draft, and this is just me, even though it does seem like Chicago's moving on from Justin Fields, I would draft Marvin Harrison Jr. and give Justin Fields another weapon.
That's an Ohio State. You know what I mean? And seeing what happened. Well, you think Justin Fields was a quarterback at Ohio State, Marvin Harrison Jr. receiver at Ohio State. They didn't play together, but they had that connection.
Right. I would look at this the same way I looked at Joe Burrow and Ja'Marr Chase, or look at Tua and Jalen Waddle. Like, these guys played in college together. They got this chemistry. They got this rapport with one another. If they could do it in college, they could do it in the pros. Yep. You know what I mean? So, but that is Tankathon. That is the draft order. That is the mock draft. Let's not waste any more time. Let's get right into it. The wild card round is here. January 13th, 14th, and 15th. It's going to be crazy, Chip. Let's get into it.
Yep.
Let's get into
it. So we have two games on Saturday, three games on Sunday, and one game on Monday. So our first game we're going to talk about, this is the Saturday at 4:30 p.m. This is going to be covered on NBC. And we got the Cleveland Browns coming to Houston, NRG Stadium, to take on the Texans. Now, Cleveland is a 2.5-point favorite, with the over-under being at 44.5. Now, I mentioned previously in the episode, segment one, I believe, where I said in the previous meeting of this, these two teams, it happened on Christmas Eve, December 24th, where Cleveland beat Houston 36-22. In that game, there was no Will Smith, no Jonathan Greenard, no C.J. Stroud. I personally think this is going to be a tough game for the Texans, 100%, right?
Right.
But we almost beat them with a second and third string quarterback. C.J. Stroud is going to be under center. Did anybody see what he did play one against the Indianapolis Colts?
Pew! Straight down to Nico Collins, straight down the middle, 76 yards.
76 yards, one play, one pass. I'm going Texans to win this one. I call me a homer if you want. I just think there's something going on in Houston, and we're posed to make a run, but we'll see.
I think you guys are poised to make a run too, because in my opinion, you have rookie of the year in C.J. Stroud. In my opinion, you have coach of the year in D'Amico Ryans. I truly think it's going to be a tough game.
I'm sorry, you missed one.
Because what did I miss?
Defensive rookie of the year in Will Anderson Jr.
I will say potentially, because I do think that Jalen Carter and a couple of other players may, like,
Jalen Carter has been playing like ass.
I'm just saying. I'm just going by what the reports are saying.
No, I understand. But I'm looking at statistics. Jalen Carter has been playing like ass. He started good. And I'm not going to take that away from him. He started good. But if you look now over the last six games.
Oh, the last six games, they played like shit.
Jalen Carter has played like ass.
Yeah. All that being said, though, the only thing that I worry about is Cleveland's defense. Because say what you want about the offense of Cleveland and Joe Flacco being, you know, he's
a renaissance man.
Somebody said this to me the other day, and I kind of looked at him crazy, but then I actually started thinking about it. Joe Flacco is the Kurt Warner of today's NFL. Because think about it. Kurt Warner didn't really have anything going for him. He was working at a fucking supermarket before he went back to play for the Rams. And he led the team to the Super Bowl. So I'm not saying that that's going to happen, but I'm saying I see a resemblance between Kurt Warner and Joe Flacco in this situation. And if Joe Flacco, here's in the scenarios that we have here, if Joe Flacco does win, if the Cleveland Browns do win, depending on who else wins, they could potentially play against the Baltimore Ravens. Joe Flacco playing against the Ravens instead of for the Ravens in the postseason. That's going to be a story all in itself. I look at it, I got to think about it from this perspective. I think that the Texans have the momentum. I feel like they could win. I think it's going to be extremely close, like 1-2 points. I think it's going to be very, very close. I hope I'm wrong, but I still think Cleveland's going to edge it. I think they're going to edge it. I do. And I hate to say that because CJ Stroud and D'Amico Ryans, it's a great story. It's a come from behind story. It's an underdog story. And everybody loves the underdog story. But if the Texans do win, then I got to be a believer after that. But no, they would go against the Ravens in that situation. But for this game, I'm sorry, Bubba. I got to leave.
Ravens, or do we go against the Bills?
No, you would go against. Well, that's if the Bills got to beat the Steelers. I mean, let's be honest.
And that's the thing. So if the Steelers win, and we'll get to that, the Steelers would play the Ravens.
Yeah, the lowest seed out of the wild card teams will play the number one seed.
Yeah.
So depending on, if you get the four seed, if you're the four seed, chances are you're playing this is the under the assumption that the 2 and 3 seed win.
Right. We're looking at playing either Miami or Kansas City if we win.
Right. Yeah. Exactly.
Because the Bills and the Steelers are both lower seeded than the Texans. The Texans are the 4 seed. The Bills are 6-5.
No. Dolphins are 6.
Oh, Steelers that's right. Are 7. That's right. Okay.
Yeah. So whoever after the games are played, whoever the lowest seed is going to play the number one seed.
That's right. So I forgot you guys got bumped to the 6 seed. So if you guys can beat Kansas City, you would play the Ravens.
Yes.
Unless the Steelers beat the Bills.
And then the Bills would play, the Steelers would play the Ravens.
Correct.
Yeah. Yeah. And we would essentially play the winner of Cleveland, Houston, basically.
Right.
That's if we can beat Kansas City. But yeah, so you got Houston. I got Cleveland. Who does Chad have?
Chad has Cleveland as well.
Okay.
And I'm okay being odd man out there. I'm a believer. I'm rocking with my team 100% the whole way. I don't care.
Right.
They're doing something. There's something magical happening in Houston right now. I'm not saying we're going to win the Super Bowl. I'm not saying we're not going to win the Super Bowl.
Right. You're hedging your bets, as they say. Yes, I get it.
I'm taking it one game at a time. And right now, I think the Texans can beat the Browns.
Okay. All right. We'll go with
it. Yes. All right. So moving on. to our Saturday night game. This will be on Peacock. This is going to be played in Kansas City.
Damn Arrowhead.
The Miami Dolphins are going to travel to Arrowhead Stadium.
Yes.
To play the Kansas City Chiefs. Where? The Kansas City Chiefs are a 4-point favorite, the over-under being 43.5.
I could have swore it was going to be over, to be honest with you. I mean, I could have swore the over-under would have been higher because both of these teams, you know. Here's the thing. I'm not so much worried about the Kansas City's offense in this game. I'm more worried about Kansas City's defense against this high power. Because I really truly think that when we played in London, the game we played in London, they scored 21 answered, and then we came back and scored 14 unanswered when he couldn't make that last play count. I think this is going to be one of those games. It's also going to be very, very close. And again, call me a homer if you want. I think we can look back at what Kansas City did in that game. We can make adjustments. And our defense is riddled with injuries, so that might be where they would exploit us in a sense. But, I mean, I got to ride with my team, man. I'm sorry. I will be more than happy to get this pick wrong, but I'm riding with my team, man. I want the Dolphins to win, man. It's been too damn long. Let us have something. You know what I mean? So, yeah. And the fact if we could knock out Kansas City, I think we would do the world a service at this point. You know, we'd be America's team. Fuck the Cowboys. But yeah, I'm going with the Dolphins. I'm pretty sure you guys are going Kansas City. I'm
putting my faith in the Dolphins.
Okay.
Win this game.
Okay.
I think being it in Arrowhead, Tyreek Hill is going to want to go in. He's going to get the
revenge game. Yes.
No. I'm not saying revenge game. The crowd is going to erupt for Tyreek Hill returning home.
Yep.
Okay. I think that's going to put some pizzazz in his step, a little chip on his shoulder to say,
yes,
I'm coming home. This Arrowhead is no longer Arrowhead. Arrowhead is Tyreek Hill Stadium.
Right? It's Cheetah Head.
Yes. I think the Dolphins pull this one out.
Okay.
Fingers crossed, but I think the Dolphins pull this one out.
Yeah. Chad's going Chiefs. Yeah. Yes. I actually looked up a poll recently, about, I don't know, 5-6 hours ago, something like that. It was a poll that was done, who's winning between Miami and Kansas City. You would not believe the disparity between the two. 91% are voting for Kansas City to win this game. 91%. And I'm like, now we are in that underdog role. Like, we didn't used to be, but now we are. So now I want to see what happens, you know. Right. But yeah, I'm rocking Miami in this game all day.
All right. So
let's go.
Moving on from there, we're going to start our first Sunday game. We got the Pittsburgh Steelers traveling to Orchard Park to play the Buffalo Bills. Where?
In the snow.
Yes. Where the Buffalo Bills are a 10-point favorite.
Whew.
With the over under only being 36.5.
Is TJ Watt questionable?
TJ Watt is questionable. Actually,
I think that's why they have such of a disparaging.
No, TJ Watt is out.
Ah, that's why the score is so the line is like that. Okay.
TJ Watt is out. Minkah Fitzpatrick is questionable, and so is Trenton Thompson. So that's their two top safeties and TJ Watt. So
I think this is pretty safe to say Bills across the board. I mean, I would like to have Pittsburgh do the upset, get some revenge for us, but I don't see it happening because I think we talk about momentum. We talk about, you know, think Buffalo has been on this momentum. They are in, when we talked about it a couple of weeks ago, but I think it's even more apropos now. They are in win now mode because And it's been the question that's been asked about, asked of them over the last several years. If you're not going to win now, when are you going to win? And when do we start asking questions about the makeup of this team?
Right. You talk about momentum. The Steelers are on a three-game win streak since implementing Mason Rudolph as the starting quarterback. I'm not saying that they are going to win. I picked the Bills to win. It would not shock me in the least if the Steelers pull something out of their ass and beat the Bills.
Mike Tomlin's known to be doing that, dude.
Yes.
He could, dude, we've seen wild card teams come from behind and win. We've seen wild card teams win the Super Bowl, dude. It happens. But this particular situation, the Bills are just a little bit more on a roll than the Pittsburgh Steelers are. So I'm going to go Buffalo to win this one.
Yeah, it's Bills across the board. Yes. So moving on from there, we got our next game up is the Green Bay Packers traveling to Arlington, to Jerry World, to AT&T Stadium to take on the Dallas Cowboys, where the Dallas Cowboys are a 7.5-point favorite, with the over-under being 50.5. That's insane. Wow.
Yes, it is insane. Because I'm not expecting them to put up too much. I'm talking about Green Bay.
Right.
I do think Dallas is going to win, but it would not surprise me. It is the Dallas Cowboys. It is the postseason. And as Stephen A. Smith always says, I say it all the time, some way, somehow, when it counts, just wait. They will let you down. I don't think they're going to let anybody down now, but maybe next week, depending on who they play, they might let somebody down. But for this game, I'm going to pick the Cowboys to win this one. I think that's what I have.
Yeah, this is going to be Cowboys across the board here.
Yeah.
But oh boy. Would it warm my heart?
Yes.
To see the Dallas Cowboys fall to the Green Bay Packers.
Oh my goodness, that'd be. Hey, remember Dez caught it, right? No, he didn't. By the rules at the time, that was not a catch. But of the rules today, that would be a catch. Yes. But not at the time.
Yes. So then we move on to our Sunday night game, where the LA Rams travel to Detroit to take on the Detroit Lions. Matthew Stafford coming back to Detroit to take on Jared Goff, the former LA Rams quarterback.
You talk about long-term storytelling. Let me tell you.
In a playoff game where Detroit is the 3-point favorite with the
over. They're only giving him three?
Only giving him 3 points.
What? Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
With the over-under being 51.5.
Yeah, 51.
I got to go with the Lions here. I think they have put some stuff together. Dan Campbell has turned this team around. Jared Goff is playing like the Jared Goff that went to the Super Bowl.
Yeah. And he's actually got players around him, and he doesn't have to rely on one running back to do everything. You know what I mean? Because that was the biggest issue with the Rams back then, is because he relied too much on Todd Gurley, and look what happened. You know, which that was a defensive Super Bowl anyway. That wasn't necessarily so much offensively predicated. But for this one, you got Detroit. I also have Detroit. I'm sure Chad's not going to go with Detroit. But yeah, I do think Detroit's going to end up winning this game. I do think it's going to be this is also the first home playoff game that they've had since what, 97, something like that. Like, it's been a long time,
right?
You know, so we'll see what happens. But yeah, we got Detroit winning this one.
Yeah. Yeah. That's Lions across the board.
Yeah.
And then we move on to our Monday night main event.
Yeah. I think I know where Chad's going with this one.
You've got, and this is what's crazy. You've got the
Go ahead.
Philadelphia Eagles, who are sitting at a record of 11-6, traveling to play the 9-8 Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
Yeah. Gotta love them divisions, right?
Philadelphia is a 3-point favorite. Only a 3-point favorite.
Man.
With the over
so if the roles were reversed. Go ahead. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
With the over under being 43.5.
I think if the roles were reversed, if the Eagles were playing at home, I think that the line would probably be a little bit more in the favor of the Eagles, to be honest. To be honest with you, man, the way the Eagles have been playing, it would not surprise me if Tampa Bay won. It would not surprise me at all. I'm still going to rock with the Eagles on this, but this game, out of all the games this week, this game could be the game where the better team is the thing. Even though the Buccaneers are a better team seed-wise, record-wise, they're not a better team. So do I think that the Eagles could beat them? Sure. But it wouldn't surprise me if the Buccaneers somehow, some way pulled off this win. It wouldn't surprise me at all.
So
where you go?
You said Eagles, right?
Yeah, I got Eagles winning this one, yes.
Chad is also going Eagles.
Of course.
Let me tell you this.
Go ahead.
The Buccaneers have won 4 of their last 5, while the Eagles have lost 4 of their last 5. Okay?
Right.
So, I am going to be the odd man out here, and I'm going to say that the Bucs pull off the upset.
Okay.
And send Philadelphia home.
That would be interesting.
Chad,
go ahead.
Chad is going to hate my guts. when this episode comes out, because I haven't told him my picks.
Gotcha.
When this episode comes out and he hears it, he is going to text me and he's going to ask me if I am drunk, if I am high, or whatnot. What I have to go by is how bad the Philadelphia Eagles have been playing as of late.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. They lost to the Giants.
Twice.
No.
Oh, no. I'm sorry. It was a different team. I'm sorry.
They lost to the Giants. They lost to the Cardinals. They lost to the Seahawks. They lost to the Cowboys.
The Cowboys, one I can't really hold too much against them because the Cowboys are a good team. The Seahawk one, the Seahawks got out to an early lead and they kept it.
They lost to the 49ers.
Obviously they're going to lose to the 49ers. 49ers are just a really good team.
They beat the Bills in a game that they probably should not probably have
shouldn't
won.
Have won.
So
the Cardinals won. They blew that game. That game was right for them, and then they just let the Cardinals come back and win it.
So, I think Baker Mayfield's going to cook in this game. I really feel it. But that's I'm going with the Bucs to pull the upset, as everybody would call it, the upset. Even though they're the higher seed, the win loss ratio is not as good as the Eagles. So
right.
Most people would call this an upset, but I'm going with the Bucs to pull the quote unquote upset.
Right. I think it's going to be a good, I think all 6 of these games are going to be really good. I feel like the Bills Pittsburgh game is probably the easiest one to call. But again, I don't take anything away from Mike Tomlin and what he does with that team to get his team prepared for games.
Right.
I think it is going to be a good game though. The game that obviously scares me the most is Kansas City, Miami. You know, like I'm wanting Miami to win, you know, for 2 reasons. One, just because I'm a homer and I want to see my team win a championship. But two, I just want Kansas City to go away. You know what I mean? I just want to go away. You guys have been in the thick of things for 5 years going. Stop. Let us, let everybody, let somebody else eat, you greedy bastards. So, you know.
Yeah.
You know.
So I honestly, I can't pick a game of the week here. I think,
me neither.
I think all six games are going to be bangers. I don't think that the Bills are going to beat the Steelers by as much as predicted.
Right.
But remember, they're a 10-point favorite. I don't see it happening. Even without TJ Watt, I don't think the Steelers are going to win, but I don't think it's going to be a blowout.
Right.
Now, if any game is going to be a blowout, it's going to be this one.
Mm-hmm.
I just don't think it's going to be.
No. And you also have to understand that, like, when you get to this level in the season, forget about your record, because everybody's 0-0 at this point.
Yep.
It's single elimination tournament. Everyone's trying to make it there. We have the wild card, the division round, the conference championship, and then finally the Super Bowl. And then in the middle of that somewhere, there's going to be the NFL honors, where they honor the players who did well and things of that nature. Who's going to be the MVP, offensive, defensive players of the year, offensive, defensive rookies of the year, head coach of the year, comeback player of the year, a plethora of different awards that are going to be handed out.
You forgot. You also have the Pro Bowl games.
Well, the Pro Bowl games, but no one watches those.
I like them better than when they actually played the Pro Bowl. I like what they're doing now.
I don't mind it. I mean, if they're going to make it like the NBA All-Star game, that's one thing, or All-Star weekend, basically. But for me, do it after the season. Do it after the Super Bowl. That way, if there's anybody in the Super Bowl who is an All-Pro or Pro Bowler, like, let them have a chance to go do the festivities after the Super Bowl, because you don't want to be a Pro Bowler and then not participate because you have the big game coming up. You know what I mean? But I guarantee you, more people are going to say, well, I'd rather be in the Super Bowl than the fucking catching contest or flag football or something, you know? Because, I mean, some people get hurt playing flag football,
right?
You know, I know it sounds like you can get hurt playing flag football, but you're not tackling. Yeah, but you could put your foot in the wrong spot, twist, and pop your damn ACL.
Exactly.
It happens, you know?
Exactly.
I can't remember who it was that did it. They were playing football on the beach. Why are you running on the beach? Whatever. Different story, different time. I'll find out who it was to tell you. I think he played for the Dolphins, to be honest with you. But anyway, so that being said, ladies and gentlemen, what are your picks? Who do you think is going to win this week? Let us know in the comments down below. Thank you guys so much for tuning in to this episode of Are You Ready for Some Football? Let us know in your comments. Let us know what you guys think. And as always, thank you guys so much for tuning in. We love you guys. We appreciate you guys. Chip, anything you want to say before we get out here tonight?
As always, please do not leave without leaving a like, comment, share, and subscribe on Spotify and right here on YouTube.
Make sure you guys check us out on all of our social media platforms, Facebook, X, Instagram, TikTok. Make sure you go to streamlabs.com/movementradio/merch and go copy some merch. Also, we're bringing back our Monday episodes. We got a couple of cool episodes coming up for you guys. Make sure you stay tuned right here on Spotify, YouTube, and a whole lot of other streaming platforms that we have. Got a couple of cool episodes. We're working on a couple of things. Special shout out to everybody. Should we go ahead and announce it? What you told me today? Do you want to? Do you want to wait?
Not yet. I want to make a special video for that.
Sweet. All right. That being said, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to make a special video here in just a minute. That being said, y'all, thank you so much. We love you guys. We'll see you next time. I'm Talon Williams.
I'm Chip Hazard, and this is Movement Radio.
God's plan.